Our scripture reading this morning will be 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. You may be seated. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing us together as a body, that we can come together this morning to worship you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask now as we open it that you would teach us, Lord, that you would feed your sheep. Lord, we need you so desperately. We need your word. We need fed. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have given us. We pray now that you would teach us, that you would bless us. Open our eyes to see, open our hearts, Lord, that we would be encouraged, that we would be convicted. Lord, we praise your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when you think about what it is to follow Christ, you think about our life as a Christian, certainly there's many fundamental practices that come to mind. You know, following Christ is a life of prayer. Following Christ is a life of loving others. It's a life of serving others. Following Christ is a life of witnessing to the lost. It's a life of continually turning away from our sin. There's so many good and important practices involved here. But one of the most fundamental of all is that following Christ is a life of praising God, of praising him. You know, it's almost so basic that we might not think about it when we make that list. But praising God, praise him, magnify him, worship God. We give God the credit. We give God the glory. We worship him for who he is. We worship him for what he's done for us. So praising God is fundamental in every way to following Christ. You know, it really is not that some of us Christians have the gift of praising God. You know, it isn't that I come and worship the Lord and praise his name because that's my gift. While other Christians who have a different gift, well, they don't praise God. They do something else. No, we all praise the Lord. We all praise God. Psalm 33, verse 1 says, "Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright." Praise is becoming to the upright. You see, praising God is, it's only right that we praise Him. It is only fitting that we worship the Lord. All God's people praise Him. All God's people. Listen to some of these passages. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Psalm 40, 1 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm, and He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord." Psalm 40, verse 16, "Let all who seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let those who love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Let those who love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. It is a life of praise. It is a life of worship. Psalm 48, 1, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." So we are all to praise the Lord. Praise God. But praising God is also something that is not dependent on our earthly circumstances. Certainly, we cry out to God with praise. As blessings on this earth come, when it rains and we say, "Praise the Lord, oh, we needed that rain." Or when we are hungry and we go to eat and we stop and we say, "God, thank You for this food. Praise You that we can have food to eat." And so, of course, it is right that we praise God for earthly blessings. But our praising God is not contingent upon our enjoying favorable earthly circumstances. Our praising God is not contingent upon our enjoying favorable earthly circumstances. You remember Job. He suffered unimaginable losses. His children dead, his livestock dead, his earthly riches destroyed, and yet how did he respond? In this extremely painful time, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Wow. I mean, he suffered incredible loss. I cannot imagine. He suffered incredible loss. I cannot imagine the pain that he's going through. And he says, "God gave it to me. God has taken it away from me." Praise God. Praise God. Now Job, man, he's certainly an extreme example. But he is a great example for us. Praising God right after losing everything. And we too can praise God when we're going through hard times, when we're going through trials in our life. You see, praising God, it's what we do. It's who we are. I mean, you start talking about praising God and worshiping Him when your life is going great and everything is how you would like it to be, and no one would think that's strange. No one would think there's anything wrong with that at all. That's fine. But when you start talking about praising God on the worst day of your life, the world would say, that's crazy. That's crazy. Well, it's not crazy, but it is supernatural. You see, our relationship with God is greater than any of life's circumstances. And in Job's case, you know, Satan's plan backfired. Satan was hoping that after suffering the loss of all these things, that Job would curse God. But instead, what happened? Job suffers the loss of all those things, and he praises God. He worships God. You see, praising God is for the good times and the bad times. It's for all the time. Here in verse 3 today, Peter's reminding the saints to praise God. You know, I mentioned last week how suffering persecution was a reality for these saints here. That Peter's writing this letter to encourage and equip these believers to live joyful, fruitful, victorious lives in the face of hostility. Praising God is certainly a part of it. You never stop praising God. You never stop praising Him. It isn't something that, well, we'll look forward to that when we're in heaven and all this is out of the way. Oh, we will look forward to that. And we will praise Him. But we don't need to wait till then. We praise Him now. In a Christian's life, regardless of our circumstances, we praise God. We worship Him. You know, really, in an ultimate sense, it really doesn't matter what happens to us here on earth. Because once we have Christ, we can't be separated from Him. And so we always have reason to rejoice and to praise Him. You think of Romans 8, a few verses from Romans 8, starting in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Also, Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So here Peter gives these encouraging words, not only calling us to praise God, but also reminding us of what God has done for us. And what God has done for us cannot be taken away from us, no matter what men may do. So verse 3 begins with a call to praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, praise God. He's the Father of Christ, and Christ is our Lord. Our Lord. It's personal. We have a relationship with Him. You know, as Peter begins this verse, calling us to praise God and following up with reminding us of all these wonderful blessings that are ours in Christ, it really reminds me of a verse that's very similar, Paul's words in Ephesians 1:3, where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." These verses can be such an encouragement. I mean, don't focus on your suffering. Don't focus on what you don't have in this life. But instead, focus on the blessings that you do have in Christ. Peter says here, "Blessed be God. Praise God." And then he starts reminding us of what God has done for us. It's as if Peter is saying, praise God, worship Him. Now let me remind you of some things to praise God for. I mean, let me just give you a little fuel for the fire of worship. Let me give you some reasons to praise God. God has caused us to be born again. Peter emphasizes the same point that we looked at last week at the end of verse 1, that salvation is God's doing. The end of verse 1, we are believers because God has chosen us to be His people. And we are born again spiritually. Why? Because God caused it to happen. He caused us to be born again. Now, one interesting thing about birth that I haven't really thought a whole lot about is that birth is a surprise. It's a surprise. I mean, all of a sudden there are bright lights and unfamiliar faces looking at you when you're born. I mean, your whole world changes. Birth is a surprise. A baby does not choose to be born. Birth happens to them. I mean, think about it. They are warm and comfortable inside their mother, maybe a little crowded. But they don't know that they can't stay there forever. You know, a pregnant mother might wonder when her baby will be born, but she doesn't sit around wondering if her baby will choose to be born or not. The baby is coming out of there one way or another. They're not looking for a way out. They're not choosing to be born. It's not up to them. And we see here that our second birth is the same way. You cannot cause your second birth. God has caused us to be born again. He makes it happen. God is not just sitting back hoping that you'll choose to be born again. Your second birth is a result of the regeneration that God granted you. And as we see in verse 3 here, according to His great mercy. Now, of course, there are outward signs of this spiritual birth. We admit our guilt. We confess, we repent of our sins. We have faith in Christ and start following Him. But God is the one who chooses us. God is the one who caused us to be born again. You know, it's so easy for us to see things, experience things in life, and respond with, praise the Lord. Oh, this happened. Oh, praise the Lord. Great. Praise God. But how much greater is this? You have been born again. Oh, praise God. Praise God. It wasn't because of our own great choice, but rather it was according to God's great mercy. Praise God. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is to be born again. And not only that, it was none of your doing. God chose you. He chose to pour out His great mercy upon you. Not because of something you did, not because of a great decision you made, but because of His mercy. And so we praise God. We bless the name of the Lord. I mean, how blessed are we who are filthy sinners, no better than anyone else. We would be content to continue living our life of sinful indulgence and end up getting the punishment we deserve in hell for all eternity. But God intervened. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Praise God. Praise God for this great salvation. Continuing on in verse 3, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that we've been born again, we have hope. We have hope. God has given us this living hope. And praise God for the hope that we have in Christ. I mean, you think of how hopeless the lost sinner is. How worthless and empty and sinful and shallow their hopes are. All their hopes are temporary and passing away. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Psalm 146, 5, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Oh, the blessings of being in the right relationship with the Lord. To be free from our bondage to sin and actually long to be with God. Instead of a fear and dread of meeting God because of an expectation of punishment, we now look forward to seeing our Lord and spending eternity with Him. Our hope here is not a blind hope. It's not an unfounded hope in ideas that men have conjured up. But rather, it is a confident expectation in the fulfillment of the promises of God. That because Christ died and rose from the dead, because God has chosen us to be joined to Christ, God caused us to be born again, that we too will be raised up with Christ. And instead of eternal separation from God in painful judgment, we will enjoy communion in heaven with our Lord. Verse 4 here then gives us more of the outcome of our being born again. God has caused us to be born again to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Look at this. Look at this. I mean, there is no end to the reasons we have to praise the Lord. When we are born again, we become children of God. And as children, we receive an inheritance. But this inheritance is better than any earthly inheritance you could imagine. Now, I have no idea what kind of inheritance Elon Musk's children will get. But I know this. It is nothing compared to what we get from our Heavenly Father. Praise God. Praise Him. An inheritance is something that is passed down from your father. It's a gift that you get just because you're a part of the family. It's not earned. It's not payment for anything. It's a gift that's given. So this inheritance God gives His children is not earthly. Otherwise, moth and rust could destroy it. A thief could break in and steal it. This inheritance is imperishable. It cannot rot. It will last forever. It is also undefiled. This gift is pure, and it has no downside to it at all. This inheritance will not fade away. It never runs low or wears out. It is just as glorious after 1,000 years of enjoyment as the first day that you received it. It does not diminish. And this inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. You see, this isn't a first-come, first-served basis. This isn't where the last one to show up gets the worst seat and the crumbs off the table. No, God is reserving it for you. He's holding your spot. He's saving you your room. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What an inheritance. What an inheritance. Praise God. Praise Him. We who were enemies of God, deserving His merciless judgment, He has chosen to cause us to be born again, to be adopted into His family, to receive His glorious inheritance. I mean, how amazing is this? Praise the Lord. In conclusion, we will all go through difficult times in this life. All kinds of suffering, sickness, suffering, persecution, painful losses, irreplaceable losses. But Peter here encourages us to focus on our blessings. Focus on our blessings. Keep your eyes on heaven. Just look at all the things that we have to praise God for. There is no end to the list. Certainly, you may suffer some now. but don't wallow in your miseries. Instead, we should glory in our salvation. Look to the future and worship God. Praise Him. This great salvation, this living hope, is better than anything we could imagine. We have been blessed abundantly. Alistair Begg said, "You are not put right with God when you start being good, but rather you will start being good when you are put right with God." Salvation is the gift of God that He chose for us, that He caused for us. The gospel is not a story of our ascending up to God to be right with God, but it's a story of God descending down to us to make us right with God. When we focus on our heavenly inheritance, when we focus on all the blessings that are ours in Christ, we can then properly value not only our earthly riches, but our current circumstances. So focus on God's salvation. And as we do, it will recalibrate our perspective of our earthly trials. Again, I ask you to consider Job. How can a man suffer such tremendous loss and still respond with praise for God? Again, it isn't that Job thought that God couldn't have kept this from him. No, he attributed it to God. And he praised him anyway. There's no explanation except that he had this living hope. He had this living hope. He had a right relationship with God. Lamentations 3:24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him." Psalm 73:25-26, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And beside thee I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Praise God. Praise Him. He has given us so many reasons to praise Him. Certainly, we experience blessings here on earth, and we should praise Him for that too. But don't spend all your time praising Him for the physical things that are passing away in this world. Praise Him for this great salvation that He has given us, for this eternal inheritance that is ours in Christ. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise Him for. Our life is not long enough. We will praise Him for eternity. Let's give thanks to Him in prayer. Oh God, we thank You so much. Lord, we deserve none of this, and yet You have poured out Your blessing upon us. Lord, we thank You so much for Your glorious salvation. Lord, we thank You for causing us to be born again. Lord, that we would be Your children. How amazing that You would pour out blessings upon us more and more. Lord, we thank You so much. We pray that we would be mindful of these blessings as we go about our week and as we go about our struggles. Lord, that we would praise You this week more and more. Lord, You have blessed us abundantly. You have blessed us not just with earthly blessings, but Lord, you have blessed us with heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings, and all of these through Christ. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this encouragement. We thank you that because of you and the work that you have done in us, we praise you and worship you as we ought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.